Hello, and welcome to Toklore. I'm Sarah.
Hey, Toklorists. I'm Kiki.
Join us as we discover how to save the world
through community and cannabis-infused folklore.
All while smoking marijuana.
Double, double, toil and trouble.
Fire burn, cauldron bubble.
That's right, Toklorus, we're getting witchy.
Let down your hair and frolic naked under the moon.
On Toklore.
We have a little bit of housekeeping. Last month's episode on Papa Gaty, we had some confusion over several terms. The Day of the Dead, All Saints Day, All Souls Day, Dia de los Muertos, all that stuff. So we needed to clarify.
Correction.
Yeah, so corrections are November 1st is All Saints Day, which is meant to, in the Catholic religion, remember the saints and martyrs at. And then November 2nd is All Souls Day to commemorate loved ones who've passed on. The Day of the Dead, it used to be the Festival of the Dead, and it was changed to coincide with these two holidays. So it's sort of an overarching term about the 2 days because they're done in succession.
Mm-hmm.
And it's November 2nd where they have the picnics. This is tables rattling.
Why?
I don't know.
I can hear it.
I'm leaning on it too much, I think.
So I might have a ghost in this apartment too.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's you.
Why is this? Why? Why me?
So yeah, All Saints, Dia de los Muertos is sort of an all-encompassing. It's more than just the 1 day. It's sort of a 2 day celebration.
Hmm.
They make a big deal about it. But that makes sense still that they would celebrate Papa Gaty's birthday on that day, since he was the first man to die and is the one to usher all other humans across the threshold.
Yeah.
That would be both of those.
Mm-hmm. What are you smoking, Sarah?
I'm still smoking the weed I got from my brother.
That means it's good shit.
Yeah. I mean, he grew this plant in his backyard. Like, this was homegrown in this under the sun shit, I think. It's kind of fun. It's neat that we can do that legally here now in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's got a green thumb. He's good with plants just in general.
I would 100% kill it.
They can be very finicky. Like, you have to be real. I mean, they need to have a healthy environment. They're very susceptible to, which is surprising. I think maybe that could be because of all the mixed breeding.
Hmm.
I don't know. It was a plant that grew wild in the Middle East. So that's where it originated.
Right.
Anyways. We're not talking about that tonight.
Yeah.
We are talking about Hecate.
Yeah. Well, can I say what I'm smoking?
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
She's really excited. I kind of talked Hecate.
I didn't. Yeah, that is, you're on the second half of. No. It's not in here. That's why I skipped it.
It is. Under housekeeping. Strain of the day.
Oh, strain of the day.
Which I kind of stole from
my eyes. Skipped over that. I saw example, statement, reflection on Women's History Month announcements. I seriously just, my eyes did not, they skimmed right over it. Yeah.
I'm smoking lemon banana sherbet from Dr. Jolly's.
Wow, that's quite the fruit salad you've got there.
It's a sativa. It tastes pretty good.
Cool.
I feel like I get really super talkative, so it's really good for a podcast. I'm sorry. I keep backing away from the mic, so
You're trying to be better about it.
I'm trying to be better, but it is sounding a little weird.
You have to lean forward. I think you need to move your mic so it's closer to you where you sit comfortably, because you don't want to – you don't like leaning forward. Eventually, you start leaning back in your chair, and you get further away from it.
I just need to hold it.
That's kind of why I'm just hunched over it here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you've got a friend. We let them in, guys, because they're actually being really well-behaved right now.
Except for he's prairie dogging. Apparently, he wants to see what's on the table. Oh, hi. Hello.
It's also, I don't know if you guys knew this, but March is also Women's History Month.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that? I didn't know that.
Yeah, how many people remembered International Women's Day?
Not me.
I believe it's March.
No, sir.
Recording. Hades had to be excommunicated, the little fucker. Turned off the recording.
He did.
Okay. This is why he's not allowed in here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought he was cute for 15 minutes.
Yeah, he was sleeping. Now that we're recording, he wants in on it.
Oh, that was, yeah.
So.
It's Women's History Month. I don't think we have any announcements.
Yep, those were our announcements.
Cool.
But it's important. And I think it's interesting. This is a very similar but different, but similar to the one we just finished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't think we've noticed it, but we keep kind of alluding to her all night. And I think you said earlier, good things come
on threes.
In threes.
Yeah.
And that's very significant for Hecate.
Oh, yeah.
So who is Hecate? And also, how do you say it? Because it's spelled Hecate.
Yeah.
There are multiple ways to say it. There are multiple ways to spell it. But we are going to say Hecate. I think in Practical Magic, they pronounce it Hectate. It always made my eye twitch a little bit.
That's weird.
Yes.
Well, maybe they wanted to make it unique to that universe world that they were building.
Or maybe she was afraid she was actually going to invoke Hecate.
Oh.
Maybe.
Maybe. It's not like Beetlejuice, is it?
I don't think Hecate is bad. So. Yeah.
No, no.
Beetlejuice is definitely bad.
Yeah, but we don't want to say his name again, otherwise he'll show up.
It's true. It's true. Beetlegeist.
I'll just say it with a weird accent.
Anyway, who is Hecate?
Who is Hecate? So my real moment of clarity of when I first really put two and two together, Hecate as a deity, was from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Do tell.
Willow, who is the brainiac friend of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, gets into magic. And Hecate is the goddess that magic users worship.
Goddess of witchcraft.
Yeah. Worshipped by witches, Wiccans, neo-pagans. And we're not talking about your storybook witches. This isn't Baba Yaga. These are women who are connected to the world, the land, nature, that are in tune with their spiritual life, their spiritual connection to the world, and feel that they have a certain power or magnetism over it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to yell that.
It deserves being
Women
yelled.
Women are awesome. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just,
we
so
do
cool.
We do a lot of really cool things pretty effortlessly. Just saying.
So I find it interesting that she's been around as long as she has, and yet it's so difficult to really fully fly. You would think for a deity that is started out as a Greek mythological being.
Did she?
Maybe she's older than that. It's hard to know for sure because you see historically, I think when things aren't written down and they're just passed down orally, they morph and they can conveniently start to mirror the cultures around them as they shift and change.
We'll definitely talk about that with her. That is very apt for her. But she's hard to narrow down because here's a list of what she's the goddess of.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'll see.
It's pretty broad, but they all have they have elements in common.
So she's the goddess of witchcraft, crossroads, doorways, justice, guardian of spirits, ghosts, plant lore, the moon, night, protection, childbirth, farmers, I think.
She has a connection with the earth, yes.
Yes.
She's also certain other creatures that she's associated with similarly. A lot of deities have different animals or iconography that they're associated with.
Zeus was the eagle. Odin was wolves or ravens. Mm-hmm. Those are really good examples.
Wasn't Thor a goat? No, he had goats.
He had a chariot pulled
chariot
by goats.
Pulled by a goat that
yes.
that produced mead from her teat.
Norse mythology is so weird.
It's so fucking cool.
So metal.
I mean, I would not be at all ashamed if mead came from my teat.
No, I would be people would pay money for that. People would definitely pay money for that.
Okay. Anyways.
We're a little off
topic. I digress. practitioners invoke Hecate when they are asking for protection, working with herbal spells, especially with Belladonna and monkshood, and contacting the spirits.
Now, there may be other reasons why you would invoke her, or contact her, or work with her. Those are just a few of the common ones. So if you are a practitioner and you do happen to invoke Hecate, I would be really interested in hearing why and what you do, if you feel comfortable.
That would
definitely
be cool.
Very personal practice.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. You do you.
And I know some of you out there, I see you on my Instagram feeds. I mean, I don't know if you're listening, but you are cool people. So,
oh, yeah.
Really,
we have some really
to hear
cool toadlorists.
I love that she has always really been associated with this earthly, nurturing, protective element. Like, even her care of spirits and beings that have passed on to the afterlife, like, she still cares very much for them.
She has a story for you.
She has a vested interest in. Yeah.
She, whenever she comes up, she doesn't come up in mythology very often, like Zeus and Heracles, Hercules, however you want to say it. All of these other deities that we've all heard of, like Aphrodite and shit. When she comes up, you see that about her time and time again, this very protective, warm presence in people. But she sounds like really kind of scary, especially when you mention Belladonna and monkshood, because both of those plants are incredibly poisonous.
Which is interesting, considering most of their spells are designed for protecting and connection with your heart, the emotions, and the land.
I think there's also something to be said about the balance of the poison, and because, you know, too much Belladonna is fatal, but it would also be used, like women would put drops of it in their eyes to dilate their eyes, and it would give you a psychedelic effect. So it was used as a psychedelic, and as we know, you take too much of a psychedelic and it can get pretty fatal, I guess I would say, most psychedelics, maybe not.
I don't know about Belladonna or monkshood. I know they're plants. I know there's something significant about them, but that's it.
They're poisonous. They're very pretty and very poisonous. But they also, I believe, Belladonna, we derive some medication out of it as well.
Cool.
But that's what she looks like today.
Where did she come from? I mean, you threw some shade at my comment about her being Greek, so now I'm really curious.
So she's often associated with Greek and Egyptian mythology, but she may have come from Thrace, which would be modern-day southern Bulgaria, northeastern Greece, northern Turkey, which is like the part where that touches Europe.
So you're Eastern European.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah. But
now I'm going to have to ask Elena about her, because I bet you she's got stories.
Maybe.
She loves mythology, and so she'd bend my ear.
I'm sure we'll get her on the show. I don't think we'll
One
be able
of these
to keep
days,
her off.
One of these days, girl. Get your ass up here.
But she also may have come from an Egyptian goddess of childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
Heke is her name.
I could see there being some... given the amount of trading that happened throughout the Mediterranean, I can see why that there's similarities because of their proximity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it seems weird to say that, but I'm like, Egypt was a huge trading port even back then.
I mean.
And so like between Rome and Athens, what's one on the coast?
My brain can't do that right now.
It's okay. My brain is jumping. I apologize.
No, all good. All good. Okay. But
where did she come from? So Thrace or Egypt?
Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. An amalgam of different gods from that, which would be another contributing factor to why she's a goddess of pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
She was adopted into Greek mythology as a Titan. And she's commonly accepted to be the daughter of the Titans Perseus, which means destroyer, and Asteria, which means starry one. But other sources by other writers will say that she's the daughter of Zeus and Hera, Zeus and Demeter, Perseus and Nyx, or Zeus and Asteria.
Dang.
So there's
it varies.
Just pick and choose.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with Perseus and Asteria. She also gets, you could say she either gets confused or she at one point was the same or derived from Demeter, Artemis, Hermes in some way, and Persephone.
I mean, Hermes makes sense. Wait. He's the messenger of the gods.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's a mistype. I meant to say Apollo.
Oh, really? The sun god? Huh. And Chthonic goddess, you mean Catholic?
Chthonic. So Chthonic goddesses are goddesses. It means underneath. So okay. Goddesses who live in the underworld. But it turns out, I mean, you can't really nail her down. She's going to go wherever she wants to go. Mm-hmm. And so she's not technically a Chthonic goddess because she doesn't singly reside in the underworld. She's everywhere. She's the goddess of doorways.
I love the promise, the positive direction that can really go.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of opportunity.
Yeah, she's very, she's similar to many other, she's just similar to women in general in that we can transition through so many different spaces and in every space it's transformative. So she has a different aspect in the heavens versus the earth versus the underworld. So she has different roles and aspects in each of these spaces. And I think women are very similar in that way.
Which I think is fascinating to see. There is some beauty and real solid truth to who Hecate is because of how hard it is to pin her down. If that makes sense. Like, because she is so ever present in so many cultures, it's really highlighting the commonalities between humanity
mm-hmm.
and this understanding of feminine energy.
She embodies the song, Bitch.
Uh-huh.
I bet the next time you listen to that song, just frame it in Hecate. I'm a bitch. I'm a lover. I'm a mother. I'm a daughter. I'm a something. I don't know how it all goes, actually. Yeah, that one. Frame it under Hecate and be like, and you'd kind of get, I think you'd get it.
So tell me about her imagery. What kinds of things about her, that her iconography that's unique?
So she is a triple goddess. So she's usually facing three different directions, which
mother,
I think.
Mother, maid, and crone.
Great. Yep.
Maid, mother, crone.
Very much mm-hmm. so. And I think that also would place her literally in a crossroads, if that's mm-hmm. her aspect, is three different faces, three different directions.
Right, she's like, it's a cycle, like mm-hmm. a life cycle.
Three phases of the moon, past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
Her heavenly aspect is Selene, who is the moon goddess.
Mm-hmm.
Her earth aspect is either, she either kind of is or was created by Artemis, and of course the underworld, she's actually Persephone's attendant. She's the one who guides Persephone back and forth every spring,
every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So she also gets you'll see her a lot with carrying two torches.
Interesting. Okay,
so the story of Persephone, and I'm wondering how many out there are reading the webtoon lore, because you would probably be a little familiar with the story of Persephone. But the OG Greek version isn't so sweet. So Persephone gets abducted by Hades and Zeus. Zeus helps him. And this is only witnessed by Helios, because he sees everything, and Hecate, because she's fucking everywhere. And Demeter started, you know, worrying, as a mother would, looking for her daughter. And Hecate was like, yo, I saw who did it. I'll help you find her. And she used her torches to try and find Persephone. And they found that she wasn't on Earth. And so Hecate was like, all right, Hades is not on Earth. Let's go check down there. And so she takes her torches and she looks for Persephone in the underworld, and she finds her.
Cool.
Yep, but unfortunately, Persephone ate three pomegranate seeds, and so she couldn't not stay in the underworld at least 6 months out of the year. And that's how Hecate became her attendant between the two, which would place her as a very liminal, which I think is why I put Hermes, because
He's also a limbo.
He does the same thing. And yeah. He's also a psychopomp. They're both psychopomps, but I chose.
But he's not necessarily there to ferry souls. He's just a messenger. So at least that was my understanding of Hermes, is he would bring the messages of the gods to Hades in the underworld.
Mm-hmm.
And their herald.
Yes. I always think of the Disney movie.
So you have a note here. She transformed Queen Hecuba into a black dog to accompany her after she killed herself when her husband, King Priam, dies in Troy.
That is one version of the story. There are others, but that's the one that I'm going to go with because, honestly, guys, it gets super confusing having to listen to someone tell three different versions of a story with the same characters, but all the versions are slightly different. It actually gets really confusing, so I'm not going to do that to you. So, yeah, after the fall of Troy, and King Priam is dead, and pretty much everybody's dead. Queen Hecuba, she throws herself out of the castle and dies, but Hecate saw that, and she was kind of like, I feel really bad for her. I mean, your body's kind of ruined, so why don't I just turn you into a dog? And so she turns into a black dog, and she becomes Hecate's... one of her familiars or her servants, her friend.
Companion.
A lady's best friend. She's also associated, I didn't put it in here because I didn't really want to, but I feel like it is kind of significant and it kind of contributes to her imagery throughout history and explains a little bit. She's associated with polecats and I had no idea what polecats were.
Skunks.
Yeah, skunks. I've also seen weasels. But so this particular animal is known not only for having super soft, awesome fur, but also for having sex for a really long time. So they have this like hour long, just the male drags the female around and there's all this other stuff. It's very like BDSM-esque. And I'm like, that's a really interesting image for... Hecate. So like it gives you sort of like you're picturing a Greek goddess and like the toga and then you throw that in and now you're like picturing a bit of a dominatrix. But like I'm gonna be honest, I don't think dominatrix are mean. So I think that is okay. I mean the sexual promiscuity sucks because it definitely contributes to the idea that like what we mentioned in our opening. The witches in Macbeth, that image, she definitely, and there's a story of Medea. Don't know if she was married to Jason the Argonaut and then he fell in love with somebody else. She was like, well, fuck you. I'm going to kill your kids and feed them to you.
Yeah.
And she.
She has this whole monologue in the play where she calls out to Hecate. And
yes. So.
I've seen it performed. It's pretty gnarly.
Yeah. Candy. So you can kind of see how you'll get like a dark, she's associated with this dark act and this dark spell. And then you have this polecat. And then so you get like the classic Disney witch situation right there. It's built. It's just you can see it building throughout history in that way.
Vilification.
Mm-hmm. The demonization of women and our awesome bodies. You guys are just jealous. It's Women's History Month. I can rub it in. She also often carries keys because she's the goddess of doorways. So she needs to be able to get through any door that is in her path. Oh, do it.
This just made me realize that Sailor Pluto from Sailor Moon is Hecate.
Ooh.
She has this special key ring. She's a keeper of time. It's a doorway that allows you to go backward or forward in time. And she is what they would call an outer scout. So Sailor Pluto is in the later seasons of Sailor Moon. Oh, sorry. I'm a huge fan. Always have been. Love Sailor Moon. And really excited for the new releases they've been coming out with Sailor Moon Crystal. They've been really good. Just really well made. Anime. And Sailor Pluto is in them and I was so happy. The whole storyline was actually much more true to the mangas originally, so it had a lot more gender bending, a lot more truth to the relationships of the different characters that when they came over to America the first time, totally bleeped all of it out. Didn't exist.
Well, tell me more about how Sailor
Pluto is Hecate.
Hecate.
Oh, just that she's a goddess of time, of doorways. She can go anywhere. Her keys will give her access to anything. Anywhere.
It reminds me of Door from Neverwhere.
Yes. Oh, there's another one. Oh man. We're gonna have to have a moment where we just brainstorm out all the different representations that we see her in. Contemporary. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is the tail end of our imagery.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do we want to do the taxonomy, or should we? Or can we do a little more on pop culture?
Yeah, we can do as much as we want. It's our podcast. Okay, we can talk about whatever we want.
So we have Door. We have
Sailor Pluto.
Well, I wouldn't call her Hecate necessarily, but the girl from the Golden Compass.
Yeah. I don't remember her name either.
She's more of just a representation of the maiden version. Like, she's the child.
Mm-hmm.
A little more brash. But still, the capability of going through doorways.
Right. Damn it. You're just starting the show. That is my favorite show, and I can't spoil it, but you'll see it soon. But I'm not telling you.
But you keep telling me.
But I'm not telling
you. So I know it's to be looking for something, which means it will stand out. I mean,
they kind of want you to look for it.
Oh, okay. Ah, Fringe.
Yeah, it's the J.J. Abrams show from...
Yeah, that is the one thing about that show that drives me nuts. I am not a fan of J.J. Abrams' storytelling style. It's just there's something about his aesthetics as a cinematographer that bother me. And I think it's because I am so susceptible to motion sickness. And so most of the time, his flash cams and shaky cams, they don't communicate anything other than, I can't move the camera properly. And it's not, I mean, it's a deliberate choice to sort of stimulate this chaos and, oh my gosh, but it's used often enough that I'm just like, ugh, not another one, please. Just let's watch the show. I can't watch this car chase because it's just,
right.
Flash, bang. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, I understand. I get that. Other than that, though, I would say
it's well written. Really enjoy the chemistry. I mean, it's not a bad show. It's just an art style that I don't particularly care for. That's all.
Walter makes the show. He makes it. Like, he's just so adorable.
The old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mad scientist with a big heart.
Mm-hmm.
That is literally Walter.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we totally went on a tangent of Fringe because I fucking love that show.
Yeah,
this is my podcast.
I'm going to watch it. I'm working my way through it.
I don't think
that I have anything that I'm forcing you to work your way through. So, but I did get you turned on to the Dresden Files.
You did. And so. I worked my way through it already. Now I'm just waiting for the next one.
There's three more coming out.
Just hurry up.
There's not one. There's, I think, three. But he's still writing. He's on a roll. Just don't make us wait another 10 years, Jim Butcher, please.
Okay, so we talked about in our last episode how we felt like this taxonomy was a little lacking. So yeah. I hit the books and did some research and super expanded the taxonomy. Yeah. And so for our first grouping categories, we have Occidental, so we have kept that, Sub-Saharan, Amerindian, and Oriental. Now, this is according to the textbooks that I was reading that are a little bit dated. So if those categories sound offensive or are offensive now, please let me know.
Yeah, I'm curious, especially since folklore isn't always a thing that just gets updated quickly.
So I just want to put that out there. Let me know if those four are offensive. But I realized that Occidental and Oriental being the only two were lacking. They did not cover African mythology at all. It didn't really cover indigenous and mythology. So Sub-Saharan does not include Egypt.
Well, because Egypt's pretty darn close to the Middle East, so it probably would fall under Oriental, actually.
Or Occidental, because the Greek connection.
That's true. It's such a nexus point.
It really is. That's why they were so powerful for a really long time. While you light up, I'm going to discuss why I think that Hecate is Occidental. I feel that it is fairly obvious, but she's so deeply rooted in Greek and Egyptian mythology that I think that there's really no... She's not sub-Saharan, clearly. And she's Eastern not a Amerindian.
Eastern European tribes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I think she is put squarely in Occidental. And then our next grouping of categories is... rational, functional, structural, psychological.
So I'm assuming rational has to do with, like, a logical process. Functional would have to be something that benefits the people connected to it. Structure, I would think, helps it to provide a structure for a community, and psychological would be much more personal.
Okay, you're close. So rational is actually to better understand natural events and forces.
Okay, yeah, so logicking things, like giving a reason why the sky is blue.
Yeah, why do we have hurricanes kind of stuff? Yeah. Why does it flood?
Right. We have these stories that are made up around it. Okay.
Functional teaches morality and social behavior.
Right, yeah.
Structural demonstrates man's duality.
Oh,
psychological.
Structural, how is structural demonstrates duality? I need to expound a little on that one,
just
I think.
That is what my notes say.
Okay.
It was various Google searches that I think I put in the show notes.
Okay. All right.
I just wrote
take it with a grain of salt.
The four types of mythology.
Okay.
And then if it said EDU at the end, I clicked on it.
Okay. Okay. No, that's fine. It makes sense. I was just curious if you had found a specific reference that sort of
it references a lot towards like themes, so you always pit like man versus man versus man versus something else.
Structural does,
yes, so those are literary themes.
Okay, and I guess I could see how that is a way of constructing society. By identifying your likes or differences from what is around
and
you.
And when you pit those, like man versus nature, you often reveal that man is also part of nature. So yes, structural demonstrates man's duality, and psychological is an explanation of an emotional experience.
Yes, psychological made sense. It was very personal, very internal.
So I told you a couple of stories about her, and I think she kind of is a different one in different stories. Here is another story, and also another origin story for Hecate. Are you familiar with Iphigenia or Iphigenia?
I have heard it. I am not familiar with.
So I think a lot of people are familiar with the tale of the fall of Troy simply because of the awesome Brad Pitt movie. And that is...
Never saw that.
Oh, man, you're missing out on some really good ass. Great. He's a great ass in that movie, just objectively. Anyway, before they even got to Troy, they were having a hard time. So Agamemnon is trying to get his fleet across the Mediterranean to get to Troy, but he pisses Artemis off, and she's like, fuck you.
I know the story. I just have never seen that particular movie.
No worries. But before this is before the movie happens. This is not in the movie. So Artemis is like, well, fuck you, Agamemnon. I'm not giving you any wins, so you can't get across the Mediterranean. So he gets stuck in Aulis. And in order to get out, he has to sacrifice his daughter, Iphigenia, or Iphigenia, however you'd like to pronounce it. And then she would be like, all right. She would let Zephyr blow his wind, is the god of the north wind. So he sacrificed.
Sorry, I got the munchies, so I muted myself so you wouldn't have to listen to me digging through the bag of.
I left her trail mix.
Trail mix.
He lures his daughter to Alice with telling her that she's going to get to marry Achilles. So she's going there expecting to get married, but instead she's sacrificed, and Artemis at the last second actually replaces her with a deer and spirits her off, and then Artemis transforms her into Hecate. That's a possible origin story.
I can think of another religion that uses a very similar story.
Oh, really?
That would be the story of Abraham and Isaac.
Oh,
God told Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, after telling him Isaac was going to be the seed for the beginning of the story of the Israelites.
Mm-hmm. That is very similar.
Yeah. Yeah, and at the last second, God intervened and replaced him with the ram that was found mm-hmm. caught in a thicket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do remember. That's actually really interesting. I'm a little upset I didn't draw that conclusion myself.
I can tell you that particular story is in the Bible. I have read it.
But where...
It's been a while, though.
Then this origin story of Hecate, who would she be? Would she be rational? Is she better understanding natural events and force? Is she helping you to better understand natural forces and events? Is she teaching morality and social behavior? Is she demonstrating man's duality? Or is she an explanation of an emotional experience? So I think that though all of those things are in that story, but I don't think all of those things are associated with Hecate in this story. I think in this particular story, I would say she's psychological because she is the result of a transformative experience.
So that'd be like explaining the experience?
So Iphigenia dies and she's transported to one of Artemis's temples to be an attendant, and she's also made immortal. And she's separated from humanity. She can no longer be Iphigenia, and so she must now embody this new identity of Hecate. So I think Hecate doesn't explain the experience, but I think she's the results of the emotional experience that kind of reveals how it was a significant one.
And I would almost also say in some ways she is a way of being rational? Explaining why certain things are in nature.
Iphigenia was sacrificed to appease somebody so that there would be winds. This is an explanation of how the winds came back after a lull.
Yeah.
But,
so rational or psychological.
Yeah. But then there's the story of Queen Hecuba. How would you categorize her in that particular story? Would she be rational, functional, or structural, psychological?
I would probably say it's not structural. Structural, would it be? The duality? Ooh, this is a hard one.
Queen Hecuba is transformed into a female black dog,
which is also a symbol of Hecate.
Mm-hmm.
So well, she was created into an aspect of her.
Well, no, that's what makes her associated with black dogs in that imagery.
Okay.
And also, in addition to her association with black dogs, is dogs and puppies were often sacrificed to Hecate. I know. It makes me really sad, too. I know. And they would be left at crossroads, or they would leave food offerings at crossroads. And if you would hear dogs howling during your spell, then that means she's heard you, or that means something significant. So I think, again, this is another instance of a transformative experience. Queen Hecuba is dead, mm-hmm. and she brings her back as a black dog.
Mm-hmm.
Does that explain the emotional experience of a tragic death where you're mourning your husband and your 14 children? I'm not sure what a dog has to do with that. I can't draw one from there.
So she's very mercurial in mm-hmm. this one. This is a difficult one to pin down.
Maybe it's because she's taking pity on Queen Hecuba and her plight and her situation. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's functional in that it teaches if you mourn and you love your loved ones so much that you kill yourself when they're all gone, you'll be transformed into an animal and serve a goddess forever. I guess what you would ask when you're reading and listening or learning these stories is, how does this story serve society? How is society going to try and kind of mimic that part of a story?
I just keep coming back to structural. I think out of all of them, I feel like that one is the most, speaks to me the most out of all the different iterations of Hecate that we've talked about today. I mean, she definitely has strong elements of all of them, but I like structural, and maybe that's the psychological element of it playing into me.
I've been holding this joint and not smoking it. Yeah, so that's the second category.
Right? It just took forever.
Let's get to the third. Societal, liminal, or shamanistic? I think she's a liminal one. I think she definitely has shamanistic nature spirit aspects about her, especially with her connection to plants.
But you're right. I still think she's very liminal. She has the ability to slide between being both worlds wherever she is.
I agree.
Beneficent or ambivalent?
I want to go with beneficent.
Oh, yeah. Definitely beneficent. Yeah. She has a vested interest in all of her followers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and you see it time and time again. She's merciful. Like, if she's, that's what it is. It's justice. That's what it is. It was unjust that Queen Hecuba had to go through that. Mm. It was completely undeserving.
It was a consolation she made there herself. It was the companion of a goddess.
Yes. That's what it is. Injustice of treating people that way. So I think, and also I think that's what makes it functional. But I think you're still onto something with structural there. Anyway, so we've landed on beneficent.
You see what I mean? Like, it keeps coming back to that duality. She's constantly ping, ping, ping.
Yeah.
You can't pin it down. It's beautiful. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
It is truth. That is why.
Is she a deity, spirit, ancestor, or hero? I feel like that one's pretty obvious.
A deity.
Yeah. I think so too. Maybe that should be the top one. That's like saying plant kingdom, animal
comes
kingdom.
Last. Yeah.
I'd almost
put rational, functional, structural, or psychological as like the last.
Mm-hmm. Because that gets really into the weeds.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And I think everything else coming before it helps sort of set you up for getting into the weeds.
Yeah. But with that, I think, I think it's time to say goodnight.
Yeah, this was a fun topic. Thank you. I would not have thought of this particular one had you not just taken a chance on it. So thank you for that.
I read lore too much. I really love that
webtoon. There's no such thing as too much.
I think you're right.
Enjoying this process immensely. Looking forward to... Oh, no.
Whew! That's strong weed.
Yeah. Quite the cloud going over there.
That was... It's very herbally and woodsy.
Yeah, I can smell that.
It's skunky. So, yeah.
On that note,
with that
toodaloo.
That cough. Good night.
Good night.
Have your own taxonomy suggestions for this creature or any of our other creatures, please share.
Send us a message on Instagram at toklore.podcast
or send an email to toklorepod@gmail.com.
Please review us on Apple Podcasts
and rate us on Spotify. It really does help.
If you have a suggestion, story, or correction,
we'd love to hear from you.
Until next time,
Tokes and peace.
2x2 toil and trouble.
She can't do that. I guess I can't be that serious.
I think you broke me.
That we might be a little giggly.
Shit.